time to replay the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, issues and events. It's brought to you by Placemakers every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. Matthew Tetley-Jones stepped up to the mic on last week's Island Life and he talked to Steve the Butcher and found out about a new Waiheke business, Y-Trade. But first, he took a sneak preview of the upcoming nationally acclaimed Headland Sculpture Exhibition.
In the studio here, we have Dillis Grant from the Headland Sculpture Exhibition. Good morning, Dillis.
G'day, hi.
How are you?
Good.
You've been working hard, haven't you?
Yep, very hard, but everyone has.
How many sculptors are exhibiting?
There's 26.
26.
Yep. We had 110 proposals and we chose 26 artists.
So you worked it down from 110 down to 26.
Yeah, yeah.
And then many people have been in before?
Yep, we've got Jeff Thompson, who's been exhibiting. This is the fourth time. There's been four sculpture on the gulfs.
Right.
He's been in every one. We've got three local artists
yep.
this year, Kazu Nakagawa,
yep.
Richard Wedekin, Leon van der Nijkel. They've been in before. And we've got the rest are really from, we've got Tony Bond, he's from Christchurch. So we've got a mixture.
Yep.
16 artists from around the Auckland area and the rest from the rest of the country.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Now, it's a setting that really inspires the imagination. We've had some quite unconventional and imaginative works. Have you got any surprises this year?
Yep, we got a very big surprise, which I won't... Oh, actually, there's been some images of that floating around, something to do with an aeroplane.
Oh, I see.
That'd be quite interesting.
Oh, that's good.
We've got a big work spanning the whole valley when you're coming in on the ferry up to the right there. That's going to be something that's...
Right.
Installation, that's going to look quite cool.
That must be massive proportions.
It is.
Yes.
I won't say too much about that because that's going to be really interesting and it's going to take quite a lot of time to set up.
Now, the thing I like about the Headland Sculpture on the Gulf is that you... introduce a lot of people to sculpture. They wouldn't normally come to a sculpture exhibition and kids and all families get involved in that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a really good thing about it. That's the best part. You know, we expect up to 30,000 people.
Right.
This year we've got added another week to the exhibition.
When's it running from?
Friday the 23rd through until Sunday the 15th of February.
Right, okay
and
then.
So we've got two long weekends.
Yes.
The Waitangi weekend and Auckland anniversary next weekend. And another thing that we've done this year is to bring in a schools program.
Oh, I see.
So in the last week we've got the three Waiheke schools each day. There's different groups of kids coming through and we've set up with the Auckland City Council a activity sheet. So it's got some fun. It's a really cool looking graphic sheet that's been produced and kids can enter in and draw their own sculptures and win some prizes through the Auckland City Council, go to the zoo, go to the cinema, you know, the movie theatre here.
Right.
Design things. So it's got education
yep. in it,
but also lots of fun.
Right. So well done taking it to the kids.
Yep.
And it's on for a good 3 weeks. So.
Yep.
And for the people who haven't been there before, I've done it a few times. Where's it starting this year?
Okay, same place. You get off the ferry. There's going to be this massive sign
yep.
that points you in the direction so you can walk along the beach. On your right, on the Maitea Bay, you know, and then up through the Forest and Bird Society and hit the Portacom up the top. And
right.
that's where we've got one work actually on the beach down by the kayak shed.
Yep.
Down right on the foreshore.
Yep.
And then up to the top and the number two artwork starts right at the top beginning of the walkway by the Portacom.
Oh, I see.
Winds all the way around. Right to the end, and there's something floating in the water just at the end. Just
right.
To give you, and at the end, you can stop and have a glass of wine on the weekends and, you know, chill out around there.
Somebody coming from Waiheke rather than from the ferry.
All right.
How would the best way to be to approach it?
Well, you know what parking is like. I mean, you can obviously, you drive up towards the Cable Bay Vineyard, turn
yep.
right down Nick Johnson Drive.
Yep.
Keep going, and then you'll just see the cars and,
yep.
and the little Portacom about halfway along Nick Johnson Ride on your right.
Or for that matter, take the bus down to Maitea. There's a lot of them going, and just walk up from there, save the parking.
And there's also a bus loop
Oh, is there?
There's a buses that follows buses that meet the ferry, every ferry all the way through the day.
Yes.
And it loops up to the exhibition, down to the end of the road, turns around, comes back into the village, then goes back down constantly.
Well, that's very welcome, actually, because I've been taking small children around the sculpture on the Gulf, and I find on a very hot day you do get a bit fatigued by the whole thing. Sometimes you think you're going to have to come back another day in the cool of the morning.
No, but if you jump on the bus, it costs you $5 for a return ticket, and you can jump on any other buses using that ticket, or you just pay $3 to get to go one way back down again.
And we poor commuters have got monthly passes anyway, so we get on the Fuller's buses anyway.
Right.
So that's good. Now, so you're going, as you said, from the 23rd until the, what is it, the 15th of February?
Yep.
And that's, do you have a start and a finish time?
Well, not really. As we know, it's a public walkway. It's over 24 hours.
Yep.
Best time, as we all know, with this heat is early in the morning and then later in the evening. The cafes that we've got on site, we've got, you know, the little Tea Tree Cafe running and selling coffee and wine. Water.
Yes.
That will probably close, you know, late in the late afternoon.
Right.
So it's really, if you want to pace yourself, I'd go early in the day, later in the day. Take plenty of water yourself.
Yep.
Snacks. That sort of stuff, you know, and but you can go any time, you know, of course.
The good thing I have to remind myself is it's not just a circuit. You can take all the time you like. Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah. If somebody goes ahead of you, we'll let them go ahead of you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we expect a lot of people, and you take your dog, put your dog on a leash, little water spots along the way for the dog.
Oh, that's good.
You know.
Excellent.
We'll put a shade up at the front, a shade down by the Tea Tree Cafe, you know, try to make it as accessible and as enjoyable as possible for everybody, all ages.
Well, thank you very much. That's Dillis Grant, and she's from Headland Sculpture on the Gulf, putting on, is it 23 works of sculpture?
26
works of sculpture all around the Church Bay area there in a circuit for you all. So that's going from the 23rd of January. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Okay, Ben. Thanks.
Each week we're joined on Island Life by Steve from the Village Butchery to talk about food. Steve and Matthew started off with Argentinian cuisine and it headed off in all sorts of directions from there.
Talking to Steve from the Village Butchery. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, thank you.
How's Christmas been?
Pretty busy.
Steady, was it?
Steady. Consistent. People seem to be a bit more organised.
Oh, that's good.
Not as frantic as normal.
The year that everybody got their Christmas diary worked out, eh?
Well, yeah.
I've still got to send my Christmas cards, actually, just sitting on the front step there waiting for me to send them out.
It is still a mystery that it's on the 25th of December to a lot of people. It's only happened like for 2,000 years or something.
Well, I was reading it's actually happened on the 25th of December since before the birth of Christ, because before that it was the Roman feast of Saturnalia, where they used to feast away and probably slaughter a few oxen and that sort of thing.
Why not?
Anyway, what's happening over at the shop?
We're trying to keep up. We're selling loads of stuff.
Right.
Freezing works and what have you have just started killing
again.
Everybody's been on holiday, so lots of the nice, delicious creatures are still running in the paddock.
That just occurred to me, the fact that the freezing workers wouldn't, the people at the abattoir wouldn't be wanting to go to work on Christmas Eve. So if you don't have supplies in, you could possibly run out of sausages.
Yes, we've done that.
Oh, crikey. And all those barbecues going at the moment, a lot of sausages going out the door.
Young Ivan is standing there at the sausage machine 3 days, 4 days, making sausages.
This is Ivan, the Argentine butcher boy.
That's the one,
yes, indeed. So he's busy making the sausages the best they can be.
He makes maybe 300-400 kilos a week.
Crikey. Does he ever ask if he can do some Argentine specialties? Do they have any spicy sausages or anything like that they go for?
We're working on that one.
Oh, yes. Because they're very big on their beef in Argentina, aren't they? It's sort of part of their national culture.
That's all they eat.
Yeah.
he's been cooking a few things for me, and he's incredibly passionate about what he eats.
Right.
He actually phoned his grandmother on his cell phone the other day to get a recipe.
Oh, crikey. Handed down from Ivan's grandmother.
Yeah.
Crikey.
He just loves food.
What sort of stuff does he cook?
Anything. He's just...
Is it steaks, casseroles, or...
It's barbecue is the big...
Right. Barbecue's the Argentina, right?
The big thing.
Yeah.
But he does... other bits and pieces, and he's quite open to learning.
Oh, it's a real... It's not quite Pacific Rim cuisine, because Argentina's on the other side, of course. But, yeah, it's the true international cuisine there.
Yeah, he just likes food.
Mm.
And for a young guy, he's very old in his head, and he doesn't like McDonald's.
Right.
Like I said, he rung his grandmother.
Yep.
The other day on his cell phone to get a recipe.
Does he like lamb at all, or is he strictly a beef man, the Argentines?
Lamb.
Yep. Because I must admit I'm a lamb man myself. I mean, I don't mind a bit of beef, but I'm a fine lamb's got that juicy texture that I really really makes me think of Nana's roasts.
They had it was somebody's birthday the other day, and they took some lamb and cooked it on their barbecue.
Oh yep.
And
they bone it and splay it out?
Nope, they're just on the barbecue.
Oh, yeah?
4 hours.
Crikey. On a spit or just rolling?
Just on the fire.
Crikey.
A proper fire, not gas.
Not a gas thing, real wood fire.
Wood fire.
Well, that takes barbecuing skills there, because you could end up just with a burnt bone, really, couldn't you, if you did that wrong?
You can. It's a time thing.
Yep. You've got to get that crucial bit where the fat falls onto the fire, and then, but not too much.
Not too much.
Yep.
It's all timing and patience, basically.
Yep.
I mean, it's like a lot of things. If you're patient, you take your time, you do it right, it's perfect.
Right.
It's not instant, sort of a pre-cooked sausage.
Yep, 5 minutes, make it brown on the outside.
You know, it's already cooked.
Right.
You're just browning it to make it look as though you'd spent the time cooking a fresh.
Well, you can actually get them now with the grill marks actually dyed onto them, so that you.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
Well, it is a bit sad, actually. I mean, you know, it's probably non-toxic dye, but we're eating a bit more brown dye, so we can pretend that we've burnt our own sausages on the barbecue.
We hunted it for 3 days and brought it back to the cave
in a
nice little cryovac bag. It's already cooked.
Oh, crikey. And wood or gas for the barbecue? Do you ever get to barbecue on wood or charcoal or anything like that?
Because
it's very convenient with the gas. I mean, I've been a wood man for years, but it's very hard to beat the convenience of gas, especially if you're feeding a multitude.
It's fast, high-speed gas.
Yep.
It's fast. Depends on your function and the customer, basically.
Yep.
If they actually understand what is going on,
yep,
and they can wait and watch the food being cooked,
yep,
for 2, 3, 4 hours,
yep,
and just see the whole process and then enjoy it. But some people are just, well, we want to feed now.
Yep.
And gas.
Of course, in the days gone by, there's always the man who gets up in the morning, lights the fire with a large crate of ale beside him, and sits there all day feeding the fire and breaking up the embers and drinking the crate of ale. And by the time the crate of ale's gone, it's ready to barbecue.
That's about it. I mean, my father was a baker, and he used to have to go and stoke the oven up.
Right.
Until he got gas in.
Right.
But he had to actually build the fire.
Yep.
In the back of the oven.
Yep. And if the fire went out too early, that was a problem.
So it's all a question of planning.
Yep.
The oven's hot, so you start cooking the stuff that needs to be cooked hot first.
Yep.
And as it cools down, you cook other things. And if you wanted the last thing off the rank first, you're out of luck, because that's not how it works.
I see. Yeah, it all ties in. Well, it's a bit of a parallel with barbecue procedure there, because, of course, you put the... Well, I do anyway. Put the fat steaks on first, and the thin steaks go on last, so that they don't they don't all get dried out. But you've got to be a bit organised about it.
It's There is a process, and I think a lot of people have missed or lost that idea of we just bung it all in the oven or bung it all on the barbecue all at once, yep. and it's done.
Yep.
That's probably why we have
pre-cooked
sausages and stuff like
and
that.
The, yeah. And the gas burner, which is so... Yeah. I mean, you can have a very tasty meal off a gas burner, though, I must say, and it's very convenient, it is indeed. Now... any recommendations for the coming week? Any things that you think people should try? Might something new? Has the vogue for ostrich meat gone?
I've had a few inquiries about it, but that seems to have done its dash. I'll have to find some other.
Right, I'll tell you my mother-in-law is very into oxtail stew, and she makes a good oxtail stew. But do you get much call for oxtail?
Winter time.
Yes, lovely stuff.
I actually had somebody asking for it the other day.
Yep.
Which, I'm kind of seasonal.
You get all kinds on Waiheke, you know. People want oxtail in the summertime.
Somebody was asking me for tripe. I mean,
right.
Honeycomb tripe. I've not been asked for that for years.
Yep.
So.
Comes and goes.
It's mainly older people who know what they're doing.
Yep.
Or younger people who've seen something in a magazine or.
Yep.
Something that's being pushed as, you know, this is the new trend sort of thing.
I'll tell you what I like is black pudding, blood sausage, that's good stuff. Now, people tell me it's disgusting because it's made from pig's blood, and I say, well, crikey, you know, if you're eating bacon, there's some pig's blood being spilt there, you're just eating more of the pig and letting less of it go to waste.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, blood's in everything.
Yep. Now, it's not kosher, and it's one of the few times that means something, is obviously pig's blood, but I noticed with the dietary laws and the kosher thing, they've got to bleed them. In fact, I did have a Jewish friend of mine said, well, actually, it's not very tasty because it's been bled so much.
But it is.
The black pudding, of course, the blood is the main part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
The blood... Got to have the fat.
Oh, yep.
The pork fat.
Right.
In it. And personally, barley, I love.
Yeah, I like a bit of barley in the black pudding,
And the seasoning.
Yep.
It was just, what you say, it's good.
Yeah, wonderful stuff.
A lot of people say, oh, I don't like it.
Yep.
But they've never tried it.
So, yep.
So they wouldn't know.
Yep.
But it's just one of those things that you grow up with.
Yep. Well, it's philosophy, isn't it? All, what do you say? All animals are created equal, but some are tastier.
Yes, exactly.
Well, anyway, Steve, that's Steve from the Village Butchery. Thank you very much for your time there. And he's in quite often here on a Saturday morning to tell us what's happening in the world of meat.
No doubt you're familiar with the internet trading site Trade Me. Well, now a Waiheke couple have taken a similar idea, but with a twist. They're making global technology work for locals.
Now, like me, you might have seen some signs around the place saying Why Trade. I've got a couple of people here. I've got Bridget and Stu who have come to talk about Why Trade. Good morning.
Good morning, Matthew.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
So, Why Trade? Is it it's a trading site? Is it?
Yes, that's right. It's a auction type website, and it also has a number of classified ads as well.
And it's for Waiheke people, Waiheke goods.
Yes, yep. Just solely for Waiheke people. That's one of the key things to it. Is that we sort of Bridget, my wife, really was the instigator behind the site, but it's it was sort of saw the need for something just for Waiheke, so the issue with freight was not the issue that you have with some of the other auction sites.
That was the very thing I was thinking of, actually, because living on the island, we're used to the fact that you might be able to find yourself a chest of drawers in Albany, but to actually get them there might cost you $150.
Exactly.
So it is a very much a different market, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we sort of had a couple of incidents where people had you know, told us that they'd bought things and from in town and bought them over, and we were like, oh, if only you knew we had them for sale now.
Oh, I see.
We had them sitting in the garage out the back. I'm trying to get rid of them for the last 6 months.
Someone's trying to sell a boat in Surfdale. Somebody's trying to buy a boat in Onatanga, and they both go to town.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
So you'll be putting people in touch with each other. I guess that's really what a trading site is about, isn't it? Introducing the buyer to the seller.
Yep. Yeah, that's we've got. Bridget, you should have something to say on that.
Passing over to Bridget about the...
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, this is Bridget from Y-Trade.
That was the whole purpose, I guess, just providing a medium where people can get in touch and show what they've got for sale.
Right, so I haven't checked out your site. What do? I go to a...
It's www.waitrade.co.nz.
Right. Yep.
And you register. Well, you can see what's for sale without registering, but right. If you want to place bids on anything or sell an item, you need to register as a member.
Right.
And we've got heaps of stuff for sale at the moment.
I think there's
about 130 listings.
Oh, yes.
And there's furniture. There's a cane and mahogany three-piece lounge seat, suite, a wooden slat bed, office chairs, filing cabinets, heaps of baby essentials, a cot, pram.
I must have a look. I'm looking for some water skis, actually.
I haven't seen water skis.
Somebody must have some water skis if you're listening out there. But list them on Y-Trade, you might have a buyer for them.
Yeah, there's actually a wanted column that's just been added on. There's a feedback section there, so we had a few people commenting that they wanted needed a wanted column. So that's been since added in since the site went live, and that's where you're getting a few people. We actually listed something on there one night and got two responses the next day, so it was great.
Crikey.
We had a tree load of plums, so I put a wanted ad for some glass jars.
Oh, yes.
And I got two people responding, and I've made the jam.
Oh, that's good.
It's a bit runny.
Next time. It still tastes as good.
Yeah.
Now, what's the deal? Do you have to pay to join?
No, it's free to join, and it's free to list general goods.
Yep.
You only get charged a success fee if the auction is successful. So when you list an item, you set your reserve price.
Yes.
And if the bidding reaches your reserve price or over, then you're obligated to sell, and you'll be charged a success fee.
Yes.
Which is, if you sell something for up to $200, it's 5% of the, the selling price with the 50-cent minimum.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that's fair. So if you don't sell, you don't pay.
Exactly.
Yes. And the more that it sells for, the better the commission that you go for, so everybody wins on that.
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but we have some items which just have listing fees.
Right.
So you'll be charged a fee when you list them, and that's for boats, pets and animals, flatmates wanted ads, situations vacant ads, and wanted items.
Oh, I see. And is it a website that's... accessible to us folks that are still on dial-up internet?
Interesting you should ask that. We've just had some feedback from users that when they're using dial-up, it is quite slow.
Right.
So we're just looking at how we can fix that at the moment.
Maybe we can do a Y-Trade Lite for us people who are still back in the Stone Age. But I do notice sometimes people upgrade a website and it becomes out of reach for people like me who's still on my $12 a month ClearNet plan.
Yeah, no, we're definitely looking at that because obviously it has to be accessible to everyone, and like Bridget just said, when the photos are loaded onto the site, they're automatically resized.
Yes.
But I think that is an issue that might be slowing the site down for the dial-up customers. So, working on that one.
But be patient, because it will download in the end, and it puts you, like I say, it puts you in touch with your neighbour who's selling something you might want.
Exactly.
Well, thanks very much. That's Stu and Bridget from Y-Trade. You can check out their site on www.ytrade. That's spelled Waitrade, as you'd expect from Waiheke. It's a trade site just for Waiheke people and just for Waiheke goods, and saving you all that money in freight. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, and thanks for having us on today.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focused on what Waiheke people are thinking and doing. It's brought to you by Placemakers every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 here on Waiheke Radio. And all Island Life interviews are available as downloads from our website, www.waihekeradio.org.nz.
Mm-hmm.